Hi, this is Keith Wooden, and welcome to Story Mosaics. Hey, you're probably noticing a couple of things that have changed for right now. One is that we are recording in a different way and in a different place, and also we're recording with some different mics. Part of that is just as we're retooling some things, we'll be back to normal within no time. But the format has stayed the same, and in fact, I think you're going to be excited about some of the series that are coming up. If you remember, that first Tuesday of the month is always just one of my stories that's been published somewhere, or one of the stories that I have as part of my life, and one of the stories that I have always loved in my life. And so this one takes me back a few years, but it's one of my favorite stories. It's entitled The Rope. You see, I built my own house. And when I say I built my own house, it's not like most people say that. I built it. Most people, when they say that, they say, well, I contracted my house. Well, in this case, if it was stood up, nailed down, plumbed in, leveled out, hung up, cemented, pasted, or whatever it was done, I did it. And so it was quite an adventure for me in the process of building my house. And yet it was something that I loved. A few people would drop by every once in a while, kind of to gawk and see what was happening. But most of them left without any calluses on their hand because, well, they thought I was foolish, and maybe I was. But I had a dream, and I knew I couldn't achieve it any other way than for me to do it. And so I began building my house. You know, I say that not too many people came by, but my dad was one of those that came by pretty regularly. He never announced his arrival. I just see the old green truck bending around the way and coming and pulling in the driveway. And then he would get out and he would volunteer and help wherever he was needed. And I have to tell you, that was such a godsend in my life. And I have to tell you, too, that there's something about building for me that's therapeutic. Sawdust energizes me, clears my head, and helps me to think more focused. And so I didn't mind doing a little work and building the house, except for there was one thing, one area that drove me absolutely lunatic. You see, I did not want to get up on a roof. I am afraid of heights, not your garden variety afraid of heights. No, my fear of heights goes much deeper than that. My fear of heights is more of a national park's fear of heights. Yeah, that's it. A national park fear of heights. And in fact, my fears paralyze me at times. I couldn't move if I was in that situation. That may sound strange coming from a guy who loves to fly in planes. I love to pilot my own planes. When I was taking lessons, I loved being in an open cockpit when we were doing stunts, and I love roller coasters. None of those bother me, but it is something about that edge, that cliff, that drives me crazy. And in fact, I can't even stand to see other people when my grandchildren get to the edge of a chasm, if you will. Doesn't have to be that deep. For me, it's chasm. But if my grandkids even get there, I feel my stomach rolling. And I'll tell you, I think it's not a completely irrational fear, okay? Because my fear comes from the fact that when I get in those situations, somehow my inner gyroscope just doesn't work very well. And I trip over twigs. I stumble on my shoelaces. I get this queasy feeling inside. And when I get too close to the edge, I feel two things. I feel like I'm being tugged over. And sometimes I even feel like I'm going to be the one jumping. And so I don't know. It's hard to explain, but that is why I was so afraid of that roof. I had put it off as long as I could, but there was a storm one day brewing in the distance. It was an Elijah moment. I could look out there and I could see that it was not quite as big as my hand on that horizon. And yet I knew there was a storm coming that way. And I had tried my regular procedure, and that was denial. And denial is not some river in Egypt either. I just didn't accept it. But that didn't work. Fact is, there was a storm coming, and though it may have been in another state, and the lightning that I was seeing brewing the clouds seemed very distant at the moment, I knew that it was coming my way. So I had to take some action. I needed to get some tar paper up on the roof of the house, and I needed desperately to staple it down. That would preserve the boards that were on the floor in the house, and I wouldn't have to worry about any damage to my house. So there I was, faced with a roof, my fears, and splitting lightning and spitting lightning in the distance. So I got an extension ladder, propped it up on the southeast corner of the house. That way it was the furthest from the storm. I know this is all just mental games I was playing. And then at just that moment, something amazing happened. My dad pulled in the driveway in that green truck, and he was a sight for sore eyes. I'm telling you, I just was so relieved. And he said, he asked me what I was doing, and as if to capture the obvious, I just said, I'm putting the tar paper on the roof. And I said, do you mind helping me? What I need you to do is stand with both of your feet at the bottom of the ladder, put your hands on both sides of the ladder and stabilize it while I get up on the roof. I think I can do this, Dad. I really do. I think I can do this. And so here we go. He came over, put his feet on the bottom of the ladder, grabbed a hold of each side. And I actually got in between him and the ladder, and I put my first foot on the first rung, and I took one step up. That's 8 inches off the ground. I was already starting to feel it inside. Next step, 16 inches. Next step, just a 24 inches. And then I made it to the top rung, 8 feet high, just enough so that I could get my foot up on the roof. 1 foot up, 1 foot on the ladder, and that's where I froze. I couldn't commit. I told my dad, I can't move, Dad. I'm a little humiliated. I'm ashamed of this, Dad, but I cannot get up on this roof. My dad calmly said, don't move. I'll be right back. As if I was going to go anywhere. I wasn't moving from that position. He walked back to the truck, pulled the back seat, the seat forward, reached in behind, and there was about 60 to 70 feet of hemp rope. Hemp rope is that 1-inch round rope that has all the little bristles and spikes on it that cause you to get splinters in your fingers, but it is impermeable to both weather and all types of things. And so he pulled it out and he walked over to me with that. He said, get down here. Get down from the ladder. Are you talking about me coming down? Because I'm not coming down. He said, get down here. And I'm not one to talk back to my dad. And so I kind of pulled that foot off the roof and started to clamber down the ladder. I must have looked like some monkey getting my way down. He began to tie one end of the rope around his waist. Now, my dad is a very big man. He was when he was with me at that moment. And in most of my life, he was a big guy. And I thought as he was tying that rope around his waist that he was taking up a lot of that rope in that process. And then he said, now, get down here and tie this around your waist. I didn't know whether I could. Oh, the tying was easy enough. I just didn't know how I could do the next step. I want you to get up on that roof. I want you to take this tar paper up there. I want you to prop it against the ladder. I want you to go up there with your stapler. And I'm going to go to the other side of the house. We're going to loop this over the top beam of the house, right at the very top, the peak of the house. And it's going to trail down the other side. And I'm going to be on the other end of that rope. And the only way that you're going to drag me off or you're going to fall is this. You're going to have to take me off the ground, raise me the 20 some feet up to the first edge of the back of the house roof. And that's because I had a dormer out the back. And then you're going to have to drag me across the dormer and over the peak. And that's the only way you're going to fall. Now let's get going. And just as if to kind of punctuate the moment, I hear this thunder rolling in the distance. We quickly worked out a couple of signals. One pull on the rope was to take me further up. Two pulls on the rope were to move me back down the roof line. One pull, two pulls. It was pretty simple. We even tested it out, and I could feel as I pulled once, he put some weight into the rope, and it was so easy to climb. And then two pulls on the rope, and he let me down just a little bit until I screamed for him, "That's enough." Now, when I got up there, I laid on my stomach. Now, you might say, is it that bad? Yes, it's that bad. Okay. I was laying on my stomach. You might even say, can you even maneuver around a roof on your stomach? I just have to call your attention back to another time in my life. I was in Japan one time, and we were working on the dormitories at a seminary there. And I was with a guy by the name of Mark Matlock, a personal friend of mine, and I've gone on tons of missions trip with Mark. And in this occasion, it was so funny because Mark saw me crawling around on my stomach on the roof of that dorm, and the dorm roof was flat. Okay, get an idea of where this is going. So I dragged myself up to the top of the ladder, and then I pulled it again to let my dad know I needed to go a little bit more. And he took a few too many steps, and I literally flew across the top of the ladder, right smack onto the roof line there, and I caught my breath. The next part was amazing because I rolled out a little of the tar paper, tacked it down a little bit more. I crawled on top of the tar paper, tacked it down, rolled it off, and I rolled it those 30 some feet to the edge, cut it off, turned it around. And this time I no longer needed to be on my stomach. Now I was able to go hands and knees. I rolled it a little bit, tacked it down, rolled it a little bit more, tacked it down. I was 6 feet up on the roof line at this point, so it's starting to get a little bit better. Rolled it out till I got to the other end, cut it off, turned it around, started to roll about. Now I was ready to go 9 feet up on this 712 pitch. And so as I was rolling it across, now I was more kind of hobbling on my feet, not quite standing, not quite full down, and tacking it across, tacking it across, tacking it across. And that's when something amazing happened. I don't know how it happened, but suddenly I got bolder in my approach to this. My confidence level rose. And I recognized I was secure at the end of that rope because I was sure of the person who is on the other end of the rope. And I knew that I couldn't pull him off. And before long, it didn't take me four or even five layers before I was Neil Armstronging my way across that roof. I'm serious. I was leaping across it to be able to hammer it down and tack it down with the hammer stapler. And I was suspended in air sometimes because I was leaning so much into the edge of the rope. I was completely fearless of my circumstances. My fear had been altered because I knew who was at the other end of the rope. In that moment of confidence, I began to think for a moment about overcoming the deepest fears with an unreserved trust in our lives. You see, there is a passage of scripture that just amazes me because it speaks of moments like this in real life. I mean, this was real life, but I'm talking about the things that really impact our lives. And it says this, that God holds us in the palm of his hand and nothing can snatch us out. If you're a Bible scholar or maybe someone who knew that verse, you know I just misquoted it. It's not nothing. Because our security and our trust and the violation of our trust and our fears and our insecurities are not based on our circumstances. We think it is, but it's not. The Bible says that we are in a battle, and the battle that we are in is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and dominions that are in the spiritual realm. Our battle is not against the circumstances. My battle was not against the circumstances of that roof. My battle went much deeper. And I thought about that for a moment. And I thought about that scripture, because that scripture says this: I hold them in the palm of my hand, and no one can snatch them out. You see, the enemy knows us full well, and he knows our fears, and he knows our weaknesses, and he plays on those in our lives. And unless we are, if you will, hyphenated together with a cord that will not be broken, attached to the one who gives us a reason to trust, then we will give in and we'll trip over the twig, or we'll trip over the missing gyroscope that's in our mind. We'll falter. But my dad weighed probably about 300 pounds. And you see, it mattered who I was tied to. There's an old song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My security, my hope, my trust is tethered to Jesus, not my circumstances. And I will not succumb to the fear of my circumstances, because I trust in the one who holds the rope. That is so big for me. And here's the thing, is I will believe the lies that Satan feeds me over and over and over again. You see, I will confess I'm a worrier, and I worry a lot. And there are times that, well, frankly, I get so caught up in the worry that I forget that 90%, maybe even 99% of the things we worry about never happen. But the worry is based on the fact that I have forgotten, I have neglected, I have not rehearsed the fact that I am tied to the one who holds the other end of the rope. He holds me in the palm of his hand, and no one can snatch me out. I'm pausing just for a moment because I want that to sink in. I want you to put your circumstances, your fears, your worries, your concerns, I want you to put all of the things that are your weaknesses and place them in the palm of God's hand, and recognize that you're tied inextricably, a tie that cannot be broken. You are tied to Christ. That kind of comfort allows you to Neil Armstrong your way through life and find that you no longer have to give in to those fears. I forgot to tell you something. I am not a Boy Scout, okay? And so there was one problem that occurred as we were working our way across the roof line there. You see, I only know how to tie one kind of knot, and that is a slip knot. That's still to this day, I don't tie very many knots. I tie one kind of knot, a slip knot. And so in this case, as the clouds appeared closer and closer, and suddenly I was jarred back to reality by a stroke of lightning that pierced the sky, and the thunder hit right after it. And I recognized the clouds were upon me, and I turned around, and they were just literally boiling over my head. They seemed almost in reach. And I realized I had to get off of that roof, and quickly. I lost all sense of signals and what I was supposed to do, and I just started pulling on the rope, mad at. And my dad couldn't hear me screaming anymore, because it was that many thunder rolls and it was that loud with the storm that was there. And I started to grab and peel my fingernails into the roof and drag myself down. And he, when he was thinking I was out of control, maybe going down the other side, gave even more force, and that cinched that knot a little bit tighter. One tug, two tugs, I didn't know. And finally, I was able to work myself down to the edge of the roof line, and I dug my fingers around the eave there and held on for dear life because I was pretty sure I was going to lose my life. I was going to die right there. About that time, my dad must have realized what was going on. He began to ease up, and I made my way over to the ladder, climbed down the ladder. My waistline, by the way, 38 normally, 24 after the ladder incident. We untied ourselves, walked in the house, pulled up two drywall buckets, sat down, and we watched the storm. We didn't say a word for the longest time. It was one of those moments, one of those God moments where you spend some time with your dad. I wonder if you've ever spent some time with your Heavenly Father like that, where you pulled up the drywall bucket, sat down, and just listened. Listened to the rain, listened to the comfort, remembering how He has you in the palm of His hand. Well, I'm telling you, these are the kind of stories in my life that make Story Mosaics such an inspiration to me, because I not only tell those stories to you from my life, but I am hearing stories every day. People are sending me emails at story.mosaics1@gmail.com. And they're letting me know about their stories. And we have seen and heard so many great stories, but I have to tell you, there's more stories to come. Next week, you'll hear another story, a story that I'll interview someone who's just a really good storyteller, but it's going to move you. And then the following week, I'm going to help coach a newbie, if you will, to storytelling and help them understand how to tell their stories better. And then we always end the month with some teaching time. And I have a treat for you because I'm going to be bringing on someone along with me to help me in that manner. And I think you're going to be delighted in how they teach and how we partner in helping others to learn how, what are the elements, what are the pieces of great stories. Well, I hope you can put up with this for a few weeks until we're able to raise some funds and get back into the studio and just have an easier time of producing this and being in our studio there with Eric. It's a godsend that he is with us. And till then, guess what? I know who's on the other end of the rope. Hey, thank you for joining Story Mosaics.